The tipless restaurant trend is spreading in Southeast Michigan. This is where restaurant employees get a salary and you, the customer, do not leave a tip. Here's Brad Greenhill, owner of the new tipless restaurant Magnet in Detroit. He says the tipless model focuses and strengthens the business.
It puts a lot more burden on the restaurant. You know, you're essentially under a tip model. The front of house staff doesn't really work for the restaurant. They actually, if you think about it, work for the people.
That was Detroit restaurateur Brad Greenhill. Detroit Free Press restaurant critic Mark Kurlianchik's been taking a look at this rise in tipless restaurants, and he's back with us now. Mark, you recently wrote a piece about the latest restaurant. This is one in Birmingham, climbing aboard the tipless train. Tell us about that.
That's right. It's a restaurant called La Strada. It's an Italian restaurant. It really was founded as an Italian cafe and bakery, and now they've expanded into a full restaurant. It's a pretty small little space. They really only have room for five full-time servers is kind of what they're going for. And instead of accepting tips, they're converting all of their employees to full-time salaried employees who will draw the servers. Basically, they said that it will start between $60,000 and $75,000 a year. After a year, there will be health benefits. Mm-hmm. They're working out 401k matching. There's vacation involved. And really, Jarko Paluszai is the name of the owner. He, he's been in the industry for probably close to 40 years. Mm-hmm. He's an immigrant from Montenegro, and he came to the U.S. in the late 80s and first arrived in New York, where, you know, being a career server was a career. It wasn't something that you know, college students did.
Okay, that you did while you're studying in the back room.
Exactly.
So this is where you are a career server. So he comes here to Metro Detroit, and what's he find?
Well, and now particularly with all these restaurants opening, I've done a number of stories about how difficult it is to find trained staff.
Career staff.
Just bodies at some point, actually. Yeah. And he's been very cognizant of the fact that it has become this transitional type of job, and he really wants to bring it back to how it was when he first arrived to the U.S., or how it was in Europe, and how it remains in Europe as a viable career.
But $60,000 to $75,000 a year, you have to ask, is that sustainable?
Well, according to the server that I spoke with at La Strada, mm-hmm. It's actually going to be a pay cut for him. He was making more with tips last year. However, what he likes about it is the stability, because, you know, you could have one week that is, you know, a great week and you've got cash in hand. Yeah. And then the next week is slow. There's a holiday or something and, you know, you're struggling. So there's a little bit more predictability, stability that it sounds like some like. Now, this is a very controversial topic. I posted the story on my Facebook page. And
what kind of response did you get?
You know, I mean, it's mixed. It's certainly mixed. There are a lot of servers who say that they would never support anything like this. They wouldn't go to it because, particularly in a fine dining restaurant, $75,000 a year is, you know, you can surpass that pretty easily.
Okay, so that I think that might surprise a lot of us listening.
Yeah, I think that this is going to affect if this movement takes hold, it's going to affect or improve the lives of a number of the, you know, Coney Island type of places. Yeah. For fine dining, it really depends on where you are on the line, because, you know, 60 to 75 is a decent living, but there are plenty of servers in other places that can make more than that.
But you mentioned healthcare.
Correct.
So is that something that is kind of a new card on the table for waitstaff?
It is, and there's a doctor actually in Corktown in Detroit, and it's called I believe it's called Plum Health, and what he does is called it's direct care, which a lot of restaurants mm-hmm. are now offering. So it's not health insurance, but it covers your primary visits. So if you're going just to, you know, get some antibiotics or for your annual physical, that's covered. Restaurants are covering that, and he's working directly with restaurants to offer deals to them to allow them to pass that on to their employees.
We just talked about direct primary care this very week on Stateside. So
yeah,
that idea. But for those who are not able to access that, I think maybe having a somewhat lower salary, but knowing that they might have health benefits,
even time off, vacation time is something that you don't find in the restaurant industry very often.
So what are customers going to notice as far as the prices of items on the menu? The cost has to be borne somehow.
Sure. At a place like La Strada, Jarko is saying that he's going to keep prices about where they are. I have a feeling that they'll probably go up, you know, at least 10, 15, 20%. There's another restaurant called Magnet that just opened in Core City in Detroit. And all the prices are, it's the same idea where everyone is, they don't call it a salary. They're paid a living wage, but there are no tips. So all that cost of paying your employees a living wage is then is bundled into the cost of your glass of wine or your, you know, there's, and in some ways it's very simple because you don't have to calculate tips at the end. You know, you know what you're paying for, that if this says $20, that's the amount that you're paying for. But some people are just so used to tipping and don't feel comfortable. You know, you almost feel bad if you leave in a tipless restaurant and not give something. So both those places are allowing folks to leave a cash tip if they do, you know, feel so compelled to leave a tip. And that will be pooled among staff and split up between staff evenly.
Yeah, I was wondering how customers feel about that. Are there more places in Southeast Michigan, or are these kind of the brave new world of tipless restaurants?
No, there are a few. Last year, a restaurant called Folk opened in Corktown. It's a little cafe. Their model is slightly different. They just do a flat 18% service charge.
Okay.
So you have the cost of your food, and then there's a service charge that's put on, you know, whether you're a party of one or a party of six, but no additional tip line. And then Rose's Fine Foods, also on the east side in Detroit, has been doing a form of tipless dining, although there is a tip line that you can give extra on.
Mark, what does all of this say to you about the economics and the realities of running a restaurant?
Well, that they're only getting tougher. You know, the restaurant industry is really, in a lot of ways, is broken. You know, the tipping too is a peculiar, really American custom that has its roots in the Jim Crow era and roots in racism. There have been a number of studies done too. You can look up studies by Cornell University that tipping actually discrimination is kind of baked into the tipping model because, you know, people come to it with all their prejudices. So you find that women and particularly people of color actually get tipped less than white men. So this is also kind of you know, equity and inclusion have been big conversation pieces in the restaurant world, and this is one way to attack it. In addition to trying to find, you know, to get more people into the business and to make a viable living off of it.
Interesting. What does the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association think of this?
Well, they're not fans of it. The Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association has, I don't know if you recall, but last year it was on the ballot that it would require, it would be the $15 minimum wage. They would get rid of the tip credit, which allows us to pay, you know, that allows restaurant owners to pay their front of house staffers. It's something like $3. And I don't remember the exact amount, but it's much lower than the state minimum wage because they make tips. And they have vehemently opposed that as well as a paid sick leave for restaurant employees.
And of course, we saw all of that scuttled in lame duck by the state legislature. Are you hearing any inklings of whether there'll be another push to try to get that question back on the ballot?
Well, I believe that that's playing out in the courts still. Okay. So I don't think it's going to come on the ballot, but you know, it's making its way through appeals.
Bottom line, what I'm hearing is as you say, the model is kind of broken here, and it seems to be in search of shoring up.
And that is my perspective. Yeah. To be clear, I think that there are plenty of owners and restaurant employees who say everything's great. I love my tips. I love the way that I'm paid out. But you know, the way that we do things here is really we as consumers are paying the wages at these restaurants through tips, rather than the employees being able to draw a living wage through the restaurant and know that they're going to have that stability and be paid for the work that they are worth.
And the fact that you have been reporting on some recent restaurant closings, as you say, it's a tough business.
It's a tough business, and all this is driving labor costs up. So it's only making it tougher.
Mark Kurlianchik, Detroit Free Press restaurant critic. I always love talking food and restaurants with you. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.